Happy Sunday. The content of this program is intended for the people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, my name is Jim DeGinnis for the North Carolina Reading Service, and the name of the program is Reflections. For the next half hour, I'll read to you from the Holy Bible and a book called Jesus Calling, written by Sarah Young, and we will always begin with prayer. So thank you for joining us, and we ask our Heavenly Father to be with us this day and every day, and we ask Him to bless our families, our loved ones, and to help Him help us to understand today's words as we continue the book of Isaiah, the very beautiful book and complex book and a great history lesson of our Old Testament and the prophecy of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So we will pick up with it today after we read Sarah Young's book. So August 23rd, entrust your loved ones to me. Release them into my protective care. They are much safer with me than in your clinging hands. If you let a loved one become an idol in your heart, you endanger that one as well as yourself. Remember the extreme measures I used with Abraham and Isaac. I took Isaac to the very point of death to free Abraham from his son worship. Both Abraham and Isaac suffered terribly because of his father's undisciplined emotions. I detest idolatry, even in the form of parental love. When you release loved ones to me, you feel you are free to cling to my hand. As you entrust others into my care, I am free to shower blessings on them. My presence will go with them wherever they go, and I will give them rest. This same presence stays with you as you relax and place your trust in me. Watch to see what I will do. Genesis 22, verses 9 through 12 teaches us, when they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, Abraham replied. Do not lay a hand on that boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. That was Genesis 22, chapter 22, verses 9 through 12. Ephesians 3:20 teaches us, Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. And then Exodus 33:14, The Lord replied, My presence will go forth with you, and I will give you rest. So, Isaiah, wow. I thought last week was awesome. I absolutely loved reading with you all last week and enjoyed the words of encouragement very much. And again, the one point I want to reiterate this week is what Isaiah experienced in chapter 6 when he was facing God on his throne and felt unworthy for being a sinful person. His sins were forgiven, and then God was looking for someone to do God's work here on earth. And Isaiah said, Here am I, send me. And I ask each of us to answer God the way that he has us ready to answer. So we pick up with chapter 10, verse 20, and this is speaking of the remnant, and we spoke about remnants last week, the remnant of God's people, and this is the remnant of Israel. In that day, the remnant of Israel, the survivors of Jacob, will no longer rely on him who struck them down, but will truly rely on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. A remnant will return, a remnant of Jacob will return to the mighty God. Though your people be like the sand of the sea, Israel, only a remnant will return. So again, historically, when we talked in Genesis and Exodus and other Old Testament books, they talked about the Israelites becoming as many as the sand in the seashore, millions and millions of people. And here God says through Isaiah, A remnant will return, a remnant of Jacob will return to the mighty God Almighty. Though your people Be like the sand by the sea, Israel, only a remnant will return. Only a small portion of those many, many people will return to God. Destruction has decreed overwhelmingly and righteous. The Lord Almighty, will carry out the destruction decreed upon the whole land. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty says. My people who live in Zion, do not be afraid of the Assyrians, who beat you with a rod and lift up a club against you, as Egypt did. Very soon my anger against you will end, and my wrath will be directed towards their destruction. The Lord Almighty will lash them with a whip, as when he struck down Midian at the rock of Oreb, and he will raise his staff over the waters, as he did in Egypt. In that day, their burden will be lifted from your shoulders, their yoke from your neck. The yoke will be broken because you have grown so fat. They will enter Aeth. They pass through Migron. They store supplies in Michmash. They go over the pass and say, we will camp overnight at Geba. Ramah trebles. Gibeah of Saul flees. Cry out, daughter of Gelim. Listen, Lashitha, poor Anathoth, Madmenth is in flight. The people of Gibeon take cover. This day they will halt at Nob. They will shake their fist at the mount of daughter Zion, at the hill of Jerusalem. See, the Lord Almighty, will lop off their boughs with great power. The lofty trees will be felled. The tall ones will be brought low. He will cut down the forest thickets with an axe. Lebanon will fall before the Mighty One. Chapter 11, The Branch of Jesse. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. Jesse, of course, was the father of David. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide with what he hears in his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, the faithfulness of the sash around his waist. Here's another prophecy. Here he is speaking again of Jesus, both Jesus coming the first time and the second time. The first time from the standpoint that he will come into to be the Messiah, to be introduced to the world as Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter's son, the son of Mary. But he will come again, and when he does come again, that's when he is the judge, and he'll judge the needy. And with justice, he'll give good decisions, great decisions, because they'll be righteous decisions. We pick up with chapter 11, verse 6. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with a goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put his hands into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The knowledge of the Lord being peace and love and kindness towards others, found only in Christ. Verse 10, in that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. In that day the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the surviving remnant of his people from Assyria, from Lower Egypt, from the Upper Egypt, from Cush, from Elam, from Babylonia, from Hamath, and from the islands of the Mediterranean. He will raise his banner for the nations and gather the exiles of Israel. He will assemble the scattered people of Judah from the four quarters of the earth. Ephraim's jealousy will vanish, and Judah's enemies will be destroyed. Ephraim will not be jealous of Judah, nor Judah hostile towards Ephraim. They will swoop down on the slopes of Philistia to the west. Together they will plunder the people of the east. They will subdue Edom and Moab, and the Ammonites will be subject to them. The Lord will dry up the gulf of the Egyptian sea. With a scorching wind he will sweep his hand over the Euphrates River. He will break it up into seven streams so that anyone can cross over in sandals. There will be a highway for the remnant of his people that is left from Assyria, as there was for Israel when they came from Egypt. Prophecy. Chapter 12, Songs of Praise. In that day you will say, I will praise you, Lord, although you are angry with me. Your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself, is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy you draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. Chapter 13. A prophecy against Babylon. A prophecy against Babylon that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw. Raise a banner on a bare hilltop, shout to them, beckon to them to enter the gates of the nobles. I have commanded those I prepared for battle. I have summoned my warriors to carry out my wrath, those who rejoice in my triumph. Listen, a noise on the mountains, like that of a great multitude. Listen, an uproar among the kingdoms, like nations massing together. The Lord Almighty is mustering an army for war. They come from faraway lands, from the ends of the earth. From the ends of the heavens, the Lord and the weapons of his wrath, to destroy the whole country. Well, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come like destruction from the Almighty. Because of this, all hands will go limp. Every heart will melt with fear. Terror will seize them. Pain and anguish will grip them. And they will writhe like a woman in labor. They will look aghast at each other, their faces aflame. See, the day of the Lord is coming, a cruel day with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land desolate and to destroy the sinners within it. The stars of heaven and their constellations will not show their light. The rising sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. I will punish the world for its evil, the wicked for their sins. I will put an end to the arrogance of the haughty and will humble the pride of the ruthless. I will make people scarcer than pure gold, more rare than the gold of Ophir. Therefore I will make the heavens tremble, and the earth will shake from its place at the wrath of the Lord Almighty in the day of his burning anger. Like a hunted gazelle with sheep without a shepherd, they will all return to their own people. They will flee to their native land. Whoever is captured will be thrust through. All who are caught will fall by the sword. Their infants will be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses will be looted and their wives violated. See, I will stir up against them the Medes, who do not care for silver and have no delight in gold. Their bows will strike down the young men. They will have no mercy on infants, nor will they look with compassion on children. Babylon, the jewel of the kingdoms, the pride and glory of the Babylonians, will be overthrown by God like Sodom and Gomorrah. She will never be inhabited or lived in through all generations. There no nomads will pitch their tents. There no shepherds will rest their flocks. But desert creatures will lie there. Jackals will fill her houses. There the owls will dwell, and there the wild goats will leap about. Hyenas will inhabit her strongholds. Jackals her luxurious palaces. Her time is at hand, and her days will not be prolonged. Chapter 14. The Lord will have compassion on Jacob. Once again he will choose Israel and will settle them in their own land. Foreigners will join them and unite with the descendants of Jacob. Those foreigners, of course, are Gentiles, Gentile believers, those who are faithful in Christ, who are not from the Jewish faith. Nations will take them and bring them to their own place, and Israel will take possession of the nations and make them male and female servants in the Lord's land. They will make captives of their captors and rule over their oppressors. On the day the Lord gives you relief from your suffering and turmoil and from the harsh labor forced on you, you will take up this taunt against the king of Babylon. And it reads, how the oppressor has come to an end, how his fury has ended. The Lord has broken the rod of the wicked, the scepter of the rulers, which in anger struck down peoples, with unceasing blows and in fury subdued nations, with relentless aggression. All the lands are at rest and at peace. They break into singing. Even the junipers and the cedars of Lebanon gloat over you and say, now that you have been laid low, no one comes to cut us down. The realm of the dead below is all astir to meet you at your coming. It rouses the spirits of the departed to greet you. all those who were leaders in the world. It makes them rise from their thrones, all those who are kings of the nations. They will all respond. They will all say to you, you also have become weak as we are. You have become like us. All your pomp has been brought down to the grave, along with the noise of your harps. Maggots are spread out beneath you, and worms cover you. How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth. You once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of Zion, Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the realm of the dead, to the depths of the pit. So here is the Babylonian king. And I don't know this, but it may be Nebuchadnezzar, who thought so much of himself. He thought he was more than God. And here are the dead speaking to him as he is now dead, basically mocking him and saying, hey, you thought this and this and you said this and this, but you're now down here with worms crawling over you. Those who see you stare at you. They ponder your fate. Is this the man who shook the earth and made kingdoms tremble? The man who made the world a wilderness, who overthrew its cities and would not let his captives go home? All the kings of the nations lie in state, each in his own tomb. But you are cast out of your tomb like a rejected branch. You are covered with the slain, with those pierced by the sword, those who descend to the stones of the pit, like a corpse trampled underfoot. You will not join them in burial, for you have destroyed your land and killed your people. Let the offspring of the wicked never be mentioned again. Prepare a place to slaughter his children for the sins of their ancestors. They are not to rise to inherit the land and cover the earth with their cities. I will rise up against them, declares the Lord Almighty. I will wipe out Babylon's name and survivors, her offspring and her descendants, declares the Lord. I will turn her into a place for owls and into swampland. I will sweep her with the broom of destruction, declares the Lord Almighty. The Lord Almighty has sworn, surely as I have planned, so it will be, and as I have proposed, so it will happen. I will crush the Assyrian in my land, on my mountains. I will trample him down. His yoke will be taken from my people, and his burden removed from their shoulders. This is the plan determined for the whole world. This is the hand stretched out over all nations, for the Lord Almighty has purposed, and whom can thwart him? His hand is stretched out, and who could turn it back? Wow. That is a remarkable read there. And I don't want to be on God's bad side, right? They say that to love the Lord is to fear the Lord. And to fear the Lord means not necessarily trembling in your boots, although God can make us tremble in our boots with his awesome power. But I just don't even want to think about. I fear thinking that the Lord's not with me or I can't be with him. That's what's scary to me. So a prophecy against the Philistines. This prophecy came in the year of the year King Ahaz died. Do not rejoice, all you Philistines, that the rod that you struck you is broken, for the root of that snake will spring up a viper. Its fruit will be darted venomous serpent. Its fruit will be a darting venomous serpent. The poorest of the poor will find pasture, and the needy will lie down in safety. But your root I will destroy by famine. It will slay your survivors. Wail, you gate. Howl, you city. Melt away, all you Philistines. A cloud of smoke comes from the north, and there is not a straggler in its ranks. What answer shall be given to the envoys of the nation? The Lord has established Zion, and in her his afflicted people will find refuge. A prophecy against Moab. Chapter 15. A prophecy against Moab. Ar in Moab is ruined, destroyed in a night. Ker in Moab is ruined, destroyed in a night. Dibon goes up to its temple, to its high places to weep. Moab wails over Nebo and Medeba. Every head is shaved and every beard cut off. In the streets they wear sackcloth. On the roofs and in the public squares they all wail. prostrate with weeping. Heshbon and Elealia cry out. Their voices are heard all the way to Jahaz. Therefore, the armed men of Moab cry out, and in their hearts they are faint. My heart cries out over Moab. Her fugitives flee as far as Zor, as far as Elgath. I can't pronounce this other word. Shalishah. They go up on the hill to Luhuth, weeping as they go, on the road to Horonium. They lament their destruction. The waters of Nimrim are dried up, and the grass is withered. The vegetation is gone, and nothing green is left. So the wealth they have acquired and stored up, they carry away over the ravine of the poplars. Their outcry echoes along the border of Moab. Their wailing reaches as far as Eglim, their lamentation as far as Beer Elam. The waters of Dimon are filled with blood, but I will bring still upon Dimon a lion upon the fugitives of Moab and upon those who remain in the land. Send lambs as a tribute to the ruler of the land, from Selah across the desert to the mount of daughter Zion. Like fluttering birds pushed from the nest, so are the women of Moab at the fords of the Arnon. Make up your mind, Moab says. Render a decision. Make your shadow like night at high noon. Hide the fugitives. Do not betray the refugees. Like the Moabite fugitives, stay with you, but their shelter from the destroyer. The oppressor will come to an end. The destruction will cease. The aggressor will vanish from the land. In love, a throne will be established. In faithfulness, a man will sit on it. One from heaven. One from the house of David. One who is judging. One who in judging seeks justice and speeds the cause of righteousness. We have heard of Moab's pride, how great is her arrogance, of her conceit, her pride, and her insolence, but her boasts are empty. Therefore the Moabites wail, they wail together for Moab. Lament and grieve for the raisin cakes of Kir Harasht, the fields of Heshbon, wither, the vines of Sibmah also. The rulers of the nations have trampled down the choicest vines, which once reached Jazar, and spread toward the desert. Their shoots spread out and went as far as the sea. So I weep, as Jazar weeps, for the vines of Sibmah, Heshbon, and Elealia. I drench you with tears. The shouts of joy over your ripened fruit and over your harvest have been stilled. Joy and gladness are taken away from the orchards. No one sings or shouts in the vineyards. No one treads out wine at the presses. For I have put an end to the shouting. My heart laments for the Moab like the harp. My inmost being for Kir Hesheth. When Moab appears at her high place, she only wears herself out. When she goes to her shrine to pray, it is of to no avail. This is the word of the Lord has already spoken concerning Moab. But now the Lord says, within 3 years, as a servant bound by contract, would count them. Moab's splendor and all her many people will be despised, and her survivors will be very few and feeble. Wow. Again, the first 60% or so of Isaiah is teaching us of the judgment because of sin. So we've already discussed what's going on in Moab and in other areas like Philistia and the Philistines. And then we also learned, of course, of Babylon and the Assyrians. So it's pretty scary. So prophecy against Damascus, chapter 17. See Damascus, Damascus will no longer be a city, but will become a heap of ruins. The cities of Aurora will be deserted and left to flocks, which will lie down, with no one to make them afraid. The fortified city will disappear from Ephraim, and royal power from Damascus. The remnant of Aram will be like the glory of the Israelites, declares the Lord Almighty. In that day the glory of Jacob will fade, the fat of his body will waste away. It will be as when reapers harvest the standing grain, gathering the grain in their arms, as when someone gleaned heads of grain in the valley of Rephaim. Yet some gleanings will remain, as when an olive tree is beaten, leaving two or three olives at the top of most branches, four or five on the fruitful boughs, declares the Lord, the God of Israel. In that day, people will look to their Maker and turn their eyes to the Holy One of Israel. They will not look to the altars, and they will not look to the altars, the work of their hands, and they will have no regard for those Asher poles and the incense altars their fingers have made. In that day, their strong cities, which they have left because of the Israelites, will be like places abandoned to thickets and undergrowth, and all will be desolation. You have forgotten God, your Savior. You have not remembered the rock, your fortress. Therefore, though you set out the finest plants and plant imported vines, though on that day you set them out, you make them grow, and on the morning when you plant them, you bring them to bud, yet the harvest will be as nothing in the day of disease and an incurable pain. Woe to the many nations that rage. They rage like the raging sea. Woe to the peoples who roar. They roar like the roaring of a great waters. Although the peoples roar like the roar of surging waters, when he rebukes them, they flee far away, driven before the wind like chaff from the hills, like tumbleweed before a gale. In the evening, sudden terror. Before the morning, they are gone. This is the portion of those who loot us, the lot of those who plunder us. Chapter 18, a prophecy against Cush. Woe to the land of the whirling winds along the rivers of Cush, which sends envoys by the sea in papyrus boats over the water. Go, swift messengers, to a people tall and smooth-skinned, to a people feared far and wide, an aggressive nation of strange speech, whose land is divided by rivers. All you people of the world, you who live on the earth, when a banner is raised on the mountains, you will see it, and when a trumpet sounds, you will hear it. This is what the Lord says to me. I will remain quiet. I, the Lord, will remain quiet, and will look on from my dwelling place like shimmering heat in the sunshine, like a cloud of dew in the heat of a harvest. For before the harvest, when the blossom is gone and the flower becomes a ripened grape, he will cut off the shoots with pruning knives and cut down and take away the spreading branches. They will all be left to the mountain birds for prey and to the wild animals. The birds will feed on them all summer and the wild animals all winter. At that time, gifts will be brought to the Lord Almighty from a people tall and smooth-skinned, from a people feared far and wide, an aggressive nation of strange speech whose land is divided by rivers. The gifts will be brought to the Mount Zion, the place of the name of the Lord Almighty. Well, we're going to stop there at the end of chapter 18, and next week we will start picking up with chapter 19. I'd like to thank everyone for listening to the program today, and I'd like to conclude with a prayer before we say goodbye. So, Heavenly Father, this year 2020 has been a remarkable one, and Lord, we are called to be thankful in all things, not in some things, not in good things, but in all things, Lord. And we do. We thank you for our time together today. And we thank you for the people you surround us with. And we thank you so much for this message from Isaiah. Lord, be with our families and those we love. Please be sure to listen next time. We hope that you've enjoyed our program, Reflections. I am Jim DeGenis, reading from the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. Peace and God bless you and your family.